You quite recently wrote a piece in which you said the police cannot carry on working on this issue in at the scale that it is without extra help. What did you mean by that, and what extra help were you talking about?
Well, Sheila, I'm looking at the totality of the response and the significant scale of the challenges that the police service currently faces. We are, as a country, having to come to terms with the horrors of non-recent abuse. It's colloquially known as historic abuse. So that's the abuse that's going back over decades and decades and decades, and we are seeing numbers that I don't suspect that anybody could ever have imagined. We know and have a very good idea about the scale of abuse that's taking place with, as you said, within the familial environment. But what we have seen in more recent times is what can only be described as an explosion of abuse that is being facilitated by the digital media, the World Wide Web. And I guess the best way of describing that is, and to illustrate it, is that in the 1990s, the Home Office undertook a study of the proliferation and availability of indecent imagery of children. And they found that there were 7,000 images, roughly, in circulation. There are now 135 million digital images which are now on the Child Abuse Image Database. That is 10 million unique images of children being abused, and of which have been electronically doctored. We are seeing the scale of the threat change on a regular basis. So the greatest threat that I'm seeing now is children lifetime streaming their activities and then becoming a target of people that have a sexual interest in them. So the police service is having to come to terms with not only the failings of the past by society and particular institutions, particularly within religious establishments, within the education sphere, but now the new emerging threat of technology and how technology is being used to facilitate that abuse. And we have to start having what I would describe this afternoon as difficult but helpful and important conversations, because the fact is we cannot arrest our way out of this. We have to start looking at how we build resilience in young people. We have to start denying would-be abusers access to material and access to the opportunity to groom and abuse. And we also, I believe, have to start looking at how we could prevent offending in the first place by actually targeting those people that have that sexual interest in children.
A couple of things. People listening at home might be thinking, hang on a second, build resilience in children. Is he telling us children need to protect themselves from paedophiles? Isn't that the job of the police? That's one thing I imagine people might, I think, mistakenly hear what you're saying there. The scale of the online abusive images available, you talked there about that there are abusive images of children, of children being abused. Does that include the images that children are routinely posting of themselves that then exposes them to exploitation and sexual abuse?
So let me deal with the resilience first and foremost. As a young child, I was taught about the Green Cross Code, and I was taught how to cross the road safely. I don't think the thought process and the research around that approach is any different to what I'm recommending now. We need to be educating our children now to understand the risks of going online. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, it is not possible for children to go online and, in my view, be completely safe, because there are people out there that would have that interest in them. Now, that's the first point. The second point is that, yes, I believe it's in the region of 20% of new indecent imagery of children is of the self-generated variety. Now, let me be very clear. Young people now, in building relationships and exploring their sexuality, are sharing indecent images of each other. It has now become part of, for a number of young people, that's part of life. But do they, at that point of taking and sharing that image, ever for 1 minute imagine that image would then become the type of material, their image being viewed by a paedophile who is then becoming sexually aroused? Children are not looking at it through that lens, but unfortunately, images are taken, images are shared, images then end up on the web, and they then become that type of sexual stimulant for paedophiles. So we have to acknowledge societal changes, we have to ensure that our children are able to spot the signs of grooming, to understand the risks with sharing indecent imagery, to give us a fighting chance of winning this battle.
And as for the scale of familial abuse, you said the police and other authorities have a grasp on that, have an understanding on that. From what you said to a recent parliamentary committee, I don't think you feel the same about other types of abuse, do you? That we still have a lot to learn, for example, about those grooming gangs and the pathology of the psychology and pathology of the individuals and the processes that they use to reach children and the weak points in the societies in which those children live that allow for it to happen, that leave space for it to happen.
And I absolutely agree with that. And let's just look at some of the challenges that we face. In between April 16 and March 17, they were in the region of 64,000-65,000 child sexual offences were recorded. We know, based on good research, that only 1 in 8 offences ever becomes known to us. So you just look at the volumes that we are having to deal with. The numbers are quite, frankly, they are frightening. There are then, without any doubt at all, new forms of abuse and certain models of abuse where we genuinely are struggling to have to come to terms with it and understanding, as you've quite clearly said, the drivers and the rationale for it. So do we understand the culture behind the what has become perhaps the most infamous of examples of child sexual abuse, exploitation, and of that, the model of predominantly Asian males abusing vulnerable white females. We don't understand the culture of what drives that and what, for some men, a small minority of men within that community believe is all right and acceptable. Let's look at the fact that there are now organised crime groups in the Philippines who are taking credit card payments and money from abusers as they direct the type of abuse, the type of victim, and the abuse that's actually taking place, which the vast majority of people will find absolutely horrific. But unfortunately, that's what's happening.
I wonder whether parents, Simon, might take umbrage at your message that actually the adults around here need to still do more to constrain their children's activities online to protect them.
Well, I generally would hope they wouldn't take umbrage because I do this job because I care. And I want to see children protected. I want to see children being able to go online and be safe. That's what drives me. That's what's driven me for the last 4 years, trying to do my level best to ensure few children as possible are abused. And at times this job can be soul destroying because the numbers that we talk about, quite frankly, I think a lot of people will hear me talk about the numbers and just say, well, that cannot be right. Well, I can assure you, it is right. I'm trying to put as much pressure as I can on the IT providers to make sure that it's very difficult for offenders to upload images. It's difficult for people to view images, that they should be making sure that as parents we can identify chat rooms where there's a kite mark that says, do you know what? As far as we can make possible, this room is safe. So I am absolutely driven to try and improve the lives and the safety of our children, but in a very, very difficult environment, and it is incredibly challenging.
I spoke to a man the other day, and we'll hear the interview later this week. I spoke to a man the other day who has abused, he's abused children in that he has viewed abusive images of children mm-hmm. online, teenagers. And he spoke to me about where that comes from, what part that plays in his makeup, and he accepts that he has to be treated in order, he's served time in prison as well, but he has to be treated in order to try and contain that compulsion to view these images, which he finally accepts is abusive to children, which he accepts is wrong. But again, some people will be uncomfortable with the idea that we, yes, imprison and treat, but don't imprison, treat instead. People might be uncomfortable with that idea. What would you say to them?
Well, I think most people would be uncomfortable when they learn that only 23% of offenders that view indecent image of children ever end up with a prison sentence. It's less than a quarter. Over 75% of offenders don't receive a custodial sentence. Now, I think most people would be surprised with that. And when you look at, Sheila, the numbers of offenders that we are arresting every month, we're arresting in the region of 430 to 450 predominantly men every single month across the UK. We're safeguarding nearly 700 children every month across the UK. Anybody just hearing those numbers, A, I suspect, will be absolutely astounded, and B, will then start to understand, right, okay, this is a massive, massive problem, and we have to look at alternatives. That's why charities like Stop Sow, that's why charities like the Lucy Faithful Foundation, I think we should be encouraging, we should be supporting, because ultimately, as I keep going back to it, no matter how unpalatable this might sound, we simply cannot arrest our way out of this, and we have to look at making sure that our children are able to protect themselves as far as possible, and encourage would-be offenders to seek treatment.
700 kids across the UK a month, were you saying then?
Yes.
You safeguard.
Yes.
Give me an idea of what you are safeguarding them from. Give me an idea of some of the scenarios that we're talking about.
Let me give you an example. A good example is that we will conduct a warrant where somebody has been viewing a decent imagery of children. We go and knock on that door, and we do it in a very sensitive way, but we do it to ensure that children, and there are occasions when children are living within those premises. So we are then faced with that situation where the male person within that family is viewing indecent imagery, and there are young children there. Now, we have obviously got to make sure that those young children are protected, and that the fact that the person who is re-abusing every child that they view online through indecent imagery, those children within the actual house are not being abused.
Now, again, the man I spoke to, and LBC listeners will hear him later in the week, it convinced me, certainly, in my conversation with him, that his children, his own children, were safe with him. How can the authorities ever really be sure of that? I mean, let alone what a person's wife might do and just remove the children from them anyway. I'm not sure that, obviously, there'll be a different response in every individual case. But what does the law say about that?
Well, that's our responsibility to ensure that we put in place the appropriate safeguarding arrangements. And obviously,
but they can still have access to their own children.
Well, yes, yeah, of course, on occasions. But all I would argue is that on every single case, that we'll then go through a strategy meeting with the local children's services, with the police officers investigating, and the police officers that work around child protection within every force area. They will consider the circumstances, the environment. Are those children ever left alone with that man? What are the risks? And we will then put in place the appropriate arrangements to ensure, as far as we can, that those children are safe.
But when I read that the images of child sexual abuse online are rocketing, the numbers are rocketing, and then you tell me that less than a quarter of people found to be guilty of doing this are given custodial sentences, and when I put that alongside the kinds of things I know people are given custodial sentences for, there's a disconnect here for me, and I think there will be for a lot of people.
And there is, you know, I am concerned, and as I've said on numerous occasions, I'm concerned about the volumes of work that the Crown Prosecution Service are having to deal with, particularly around rape and serious sexual offences. The amount of contested Crown Court time now, I believe, is in the region of 50% of all time spent dealing with sex cases. There is a disconnect, and that's why I'm pushing so hard, and will take every single opportunity I can to raise the and highlight and focus upon the challenge of this, but actually make the point that so much of this is preventable, I believe. If the IT providers undertook their social and moral responsibility to stop and make it very difficult for images to be uploaded, to make it very difficult for images to be viewed, and also to make sure that chat rooms and environments where our children, our grandchildren go, can go safely without the threat of being groomed online.
You've said a couple of very startling things, or stark things, not startling things, stark things in our conversation. The idea of preventable child abuse probably isn't something that people think of, because I think a lot of people think it can't happen to my child. My child isn't going to be groomed by those men in that fish and chip shop. My child isn't going to be abused online because they're not uploading pictures of themselves online, as far as I know. My child knows how to be safe on the internet. But you believe that a lot of abuse that is relatively easily prevented is still going on, don't you?
Absolutely. There's this.
And it can happen to anybody's child.
And it can happen to absolutely anybody's child. The grooming of children online knows absolutely no social barriers whatsoever.
On treatment, are you saying that the government, whichever government of the day, the government should be putting a lot more of its financial and policy attention on the treatment of paedophiles and people who abuse children, older children?
I've always tried to be politically very, very neutral on this because that's my job as a senior police officer to be able to do that. I do think we need to be looking more at how we prevent offending taking place and how we can provide the therapeutic treatment and support to would-be offenders. And that is offenders that have yet to be caught, and that's offenders who are reoffending. And that's why the work of Stop So, the work of the Lucy Faithful Foundation is so important, because I would like to think that any listener who is tuned in this afternoon hearing this conversation will think, right, such is the scale of the threat, such is the scale of the demand on the police service. Chief Constable Bailey is quite right to explore the alternatives, to encourage people to make the abuse very, very difficult, but actually recognise that there has to be a multifaceted approach to this. We can't arrest our way out of it. And even when we arrest our way out of it, offenders only in 23% of cases are getting a custodial sentence.
And
we have to look at alternatives.
What do we do to shake off? I mean, I have, because of my work, really, but it's taken time. What do we do to shake off the idea that the paedophile, the child abuser, is the grubby bogeyman over there, not the person close to me here?
I think that's really, really difficult, because it is so emotive. It is one of those subject matters that raises emotions in a way that few other subject matters do. And I think we have to be, Sheila, I think we have to be realistic around this. I think there is quite rightly an absolute sense of outrage and disgust when a child is sexually abused. Now, let me be very clear on that. But what we also have to understand is that there will be a group of people there who are offending at this moment in time that haven't been caught. We should be encouraging them to try and seek help so they stop abusing, and that we need to put in place something to support people so they don't then go and reoffend. To try and get beyond that, they are the most vile people on the planet, is going to be very, very difficult.